I called the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is
4-1. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from there.
Yo. And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, the realest and blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Coming straight from the south. Going down. Audio shop talk. Busting you right in your eardrums. As we get it in and we talk about sports the way we like to talk about sports from our perspective. And make sure that we're telling the story the right way. Yiddy! All right, so you know housekeeping. The Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go. And you can learn about On the Shoulders of Giants, and you can learn about African history through their various mediums, such as their On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the blog series, the African History Curriculum app, which is available in the Google Play Store, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, and also the educational classes, seminars, lectures, speaking engagements that On the Shoulders of Giants can deliver. All you got to do is visit the website at www.ontheshoulders1.com, as well as if you want to learn more about the nonprofit organization, visit www.ontheshoulders.org, and that way you can learn about your history and help build pride within yourself and what you're doing and what you got going on as a black person in this world. All right, and you know we right here riding on the Freedom Train Network. Make sure you visit our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about the Fix Sports Podcast and all of the various shows that we have. So let me give y'all a weekly lineup real quick. You know, every Monday, just like today, you get this Fix Sports Podcast, you know, the realest and blackest sports podcast you've ever heard. Every Wednesday, you get the Freedom Train Podcast series, as well as the live taping or the live showing of Office Hours of Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tolbert. Every Thursday, you get Lessons from the Screen with Patrick Irvin. Every Friday, you get the Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tolbert podcast, which is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Every Saturday, you get the release of Tea Time Black Women Talk, as well as the On the Shoulders of Giants podcast. And remember, all of the shows are available on our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, as well as all of the shows are available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. All right. So, we back. We the Fix. And let's get down. So today, let me give you a rundown of what we're talking about, then we're going to get into it. So our HBCU spotlight is going to be shined on Andre Covington, a member of the Philadelphia 76ers. Dez Bryant was cut by the Cowboys, so you know we got to get into that. Cowboy Nation. Seahawks canceled a workout with Kaepernick, so we're going to get into that. Martellus Bennett needs to keep his mouth closed because he went around talking about 90% of the NFL players smoke weed. Do an NFL draft preview. We're previewing the Jets and the Broncos. And then talk about Floyd Mayweather's bodyguard being shot. Seemed like a drive-by. The NBA playoffs have started, so I'll give you a little recap and tell you the final positions of the playoffs. Russell Westbrook has averaged a triple-double for the second straight season, so we're going to highlight that and big him up for that. The Big Three basketball, the league that Ice Cube co-owned, Big Three had a basketball draft and they retooled, so we're going to talk about that. The Lakers have a 32-year-old rookie who made his debut, and we're going to talk about that because it's a very inspirational story. The San Francisco 49ers former player, Reuben Foster, is arrested on domestic violence allegations, and our weekly rant is going to be aimed at a little boy named Trevor Davis who played for the Green Bay Packers, who decided he wanted to go into an airport and make a bomb threat joke, and he black. So, you know, let's get into it. So like I said, HBCU spotlight is shined at Robert Covington. So Robert Covington, he went to college at Tennessee State, so that's why he gets the HBCU spotlight. Because, you know, we spotlight the HBCU diaspora. All right, so there's an article basically saying Robert Covington started from the bottom, now he's here. That's lame. That's lame. I thought a white dude wrote that, but a black dude wrote that. So. Take a deep breath for that. Robert Covington started from the bottom. Now he's here. That's come on, man. All right, whatever. But that's the title of the article. So basically, Robert Covington, he went through hell and high water, and he never gave up on his dream. And now he's a contributing player for the Philadelphia 76ers, who's a playoff team, who got a victory last night in round one of the playoffs against the Miami Heat. So we give you a little bit of more information about this rise to fame for Robert Covington. The game was played a few years ago early in the process, and the verbal abuse directed at Philadelphia 76ers forward Robert Covington from the fans at the Wells Fargo Center was getting heated. Some called him trash. Others demanded he be traded or cut. Covington paid it no mind. "We were losing," he explained. "It's a tough city." But one fan kept riding him, cutting deeper with each offensive remark. It got so personal that Covington, who refused to repeat what was said, stopped in his tracks and approached the habitual line stepper. "Let me hear that come out of your mouth one more time," the normally mild man of Covington told the fan. "Do it again, and I'm going to jump in the stands, and it's going to be a problem." Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Keep your mouth closed. That was then the beginning stages of the process where Covington endured a 10-win season and two of the longest losing streaks in NBA history. And this is now the number three seed in the NBA playoffs with the Sixers beginning play at home against the Miami Heat. The Sixers clinched the seed with a 139-95 win over the Milwaukee Bucks that Wednesday to end the season with 16 consecutive wins, the longest winning streak to end the regular season in NBA history. A lot of people suffered during the journey since the 76ers' last trip to the playoffs in 2012, but no one more than Covington. He and T.J. McConnell are the only two current Sixers players on that 2015-2016 team that opened the season with 18 straight losses, a record to start a season, which followed Covington's stomaching and 0-17 start to the season the year before. Covington was there for the duration of those NBA record 28 consecutive losses and was a participant during the 2015-2016 season in which the 76ers won 10 games. Through the years, Covington has emerged as a key component of the process, but initially he was likely going to be a part of it. The process was a chess game, a strategic endeavor launched by former general manager Sam Hinkie. Hinkie intended to snag high draft picks such as Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Markelle Fultz, and not guys who were undrafted and unheralded like Covington. So Covington may not have been more a mere pawn. Well, we'll save that description for guys such as K.J. McDaniels, Alex Thompson, and Henry Sims, who were among the unknowns to start the games for the 76ers during the 2014-2015 season. But he was at best a knight, a roster piece easily sacrificed whenever the Sixers described during the early stages of the process as being anti-competitive, could position themselves to snag first-round pick. Covington never brought into that narrative. Instead, Covington saw his arrival in Philadelphia as an opportunity, and he took his job seriously enough during the dark days of accepting L's to emerge as a significant player on the NBA's most surprising team this season. Covington became a three-point threat on offense and one of the league's toughest defenders. His active hands and 7'2" wingspan helped him end with the league lead in deflections for the second straight season and an average of 3.9 a season, tied with Paul George. This is the first trip to the playoffs for Covington, and the words that best describes his feelings are revealed as he pulls his white tank top to the side to show the words "S" just below his collarbone. Truly blessed. So basically, truly blessed is his tattoo. He pulled it to the side like Yvette did in Baby Boy when she wanted to show Peanut that she was still with Jody, and Jody was still her man. So she pulled her shirt to the side and pointed at Jody's name. So he did that. But okay. "No one thought we could do this," said Covington, relaxing in his living room of his sparsely furnished New Jersey home. "All the guys brought in, and that helped us get to the place we are now." So, you know, but he started at Tennessee State, and he was an unheralded player. But he kept going, he kept pushing, and he kept doing his thing. And now Andre Covington is a key component for the Philadelphia 76ers. And I was watching the game last night, and, you know, I saw him doing his thing. Then they mentioned that he was from Tennessee State. So I looked him up, and I was like, yeah, my HBCU spotlight. So one time for Andre Covington for doing what he's doing, not giving up on his dream, Robert Covington, and going out there balling and representing Tennessee State, representing HBCUs like he's supposed to, and letting them fans, them extra disrespectful fans, know you keep running your mouth like that, I'm going to have to put this elbow in your eyeball. So, little man in the shirt, my audience, I'll get on up off that seat, give Robert Covington a round of applause. One time, Robert. One time. One time, Robert. One time. Yeah. So one time for Robert Covington, the hero from Tennessee State, who in the NBA, dropping them things. All right. This goes out to Cowboy Nation. Dez Bryant was cut by the Dallas Cowboys. "Sitting up in Dallas thinking about how my homie gonna wait. Do it all down with that 88. That's how Dez Bryant would play. How could it be? Somebody cut Dez. My right receiver's gone. And I'm so all alone, and I wanna miss this Bryant, even though he gone away. I know he in a better place, and I hope to see his who's him there." So, Dez Bryant is no longer a Dallas Cowboys. He was cut yesterday. Now, I ain't gonna lie. It was time for Dez to go. Dez just wasn't the same player that he was, man. And that was a catch in that damn Green Bay game that they called not a catch, which caused us to lose that playoff game, and we was going to the Super Bowl that year. We was going to the Super Bowl. The referees didn't want us to go to the Super Bowl. But it's the end of an era. Another 88 is gone, and go ahead and put that 88 back on ice, because you got to be extra live to get that 88, and that 88 just ain't up to be war like that. So, I'm looking at his stats over the last couple seasons. 2014, he played 16 games. He was targeted 136 times, had 88 receptions for 1,300 yards, 15 yards a catch, had 16 touchdowns, his longest was 68 yards, his catch percentage was 64.7%. 2015, he played 9 games, had 72 targets, 31 receptions, 400 yards, 401 yards, 3 touchdowns, catch percentage was 43.1%. 2016, he played 13 games at 96 targets, 50 catches, 796 yards, 8 touchdowns. And then 2017, last year, he played 16 games, had 132 targets, 69 receptions, 838 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And see, his numbers aren't horrible, but they're not number one receiver numbers. And that's the thing about Dez Bryant is he was no longer a number one receiver as far as his ability, because he's getting old, and injuries start to set in as well. So the athletic ability isn't exactly what it was. And Dez Bryant is limited in his route running. That slant and that go, those are his best routes. That back shoulder fade, a Tony Romo was throwing it, was something that was effective. For Dez Bryant, but Dez Bryant really is no longer the receiver that he used to be, but he's still productive because, over the last 3 seasons, not the 2015 season, but 2016 season, he had 8 touchdowns. 2017, he had 6 touchdowns, 796 yards. 2016, 838 yards. 2017. So his numbers are better than you would think of somebody getting cut like that. So whoever picks up Dez Bryant will be getting a receiver who can contribute. I will say that. It's not like Dez is trash, because Dez ain't trash. But Dez just was no longer the number one receiver that the Cowboys needed, and it was time for Dez to get out of Dallas. And I will say this. I didn't think that Dak Prescott did great job of trying to get Dez the ball either. Even though Dez didn't do a good job of getting open either. I mean, Jason Witten, he was throwing it to Jason. I did think Dak Prescott could have got Dez the ball more, and he didn't. I just didn't understand it sometimes. I like, man, just throw that thing out there, man, and let Dez go get it. Just do it. But Dak didn't truly do that. And then Dak was like, that 1 year, that first year, Dak was feeling himself. And he's like, I'll throw you the ball if you're open. Nah, dog. You a rookie, dog. And you playing by circumstance. So I think you need to get this man the ball. But, Dez's numbers have declined. But going back, let's go back and look. Like, that show you, let's go back. So 2010 was his first season. Played 12 games, 73 targets, 500 yards, 6 touchdowns. So put it like this. He played 9 games in 2015. And that was the year he had the least amount of touchdowns, which was 3. And I'm just going to go touchdowns first. So 2010, he had 6. 2011, he had 9. 2012, he had 12. 2013, he had 13. 2014, he had 16. 2015, he had 3. 2016, he had 8. 2017, he had 6. So, 73 total touchdowns in his 8 seasons, a total of 7,459 yards, 531 receptions, played a total of 113 games. So, as far as yards, 2011, he had 928. 2012, he had 1382. 2013, he had 1233. 2014, he had 1320. 2015, 401. 2016, 796. And 2017, 838. His numbers was not horrible. Numbers definitely wasn't horrible. Another issue with Dez is Dez had a lot of drops. So it was just time for Dez to get out of Dallas, man, and do something new. I'm not mad. As a Cowboy fan, I'm not mad, because it ain't like Dez stunk up the place. I'm looking at the stats. Dez was productive. So you know, my hat go off to Dez. He was one of the real ones. You know, I do think his emotional immaturity got the best of him. You call it his edge, his passion, whatever. Dez was emotionally immature, or is emotionally immature. He doesn't know how to control those said emotions the way he's supposed to, and they get the best of him often. So Dez is definitely one of the top three greatest receivers in NFL, I mean, in Cowboy history. One of the top three 88s. You know, of course, Michael Irvin, Drew Pierce, then you got Dez, then you got, you know, T.O. played for Dallas, but not, you know. So Dez is definitely going to be remembered. He definitely a Cowboy for life. No matter where he goes, he's still a Cowboy for life. And, you know, riding off to the sunset. It's over now. Dez Bryant is gone. Dez Bryant is gone. So we want to give a round of applause for Dez Bryant. What he did. Oh yeah, and the Dallas Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl 2018. I mean, this upcoming season, they are going to the Super Bowl. I just want to say that, but we don't have a receiver on the roster that's better than Dez, I will say that. We don't. So what is we going to do? I don't know. I am interested, however, in who is going to pick Dez up and the role that he will play in the new team. So, you know, I want to see that. I want to see that. I want to be like Dez. Salute, Dez. Salute. All right, so let's move on in a little more football news. Talk about a little more football stuff and, you know, the Kaepernick saga continues. So the Seattle Seahawks was going to bring Cap in for a workout. Then it got postponed. Then it got canceled. Right? So now let me read the reason the Seahawks did this. The reason, and this from CBS Sports, and this is from Adam Schefter. The reason the Seahawks workout was canceled, per multiple reports, was that Kaepernick would not accede to a demand that he stop kneeling during the anthem as a precondition to the meeting. And this is per Adam Schefter, described the situation on NFL Live. This is an interesting story on a lot of different levels. The Seahawks had planned for Colin Kaepernick to work out for them earlier this week. And at the last moment, that trip was postponed because a conversation occurred where they wanted to know what he was going to be doing on the field this year before and during the national anthem, Schefter said. And I don't think he was willing to give them an answer to commit one way or another. And with that hanging out there, the Seahawks postponed that trip. Some say canceled it. Depends on how you look at it. But it's a situation here where Colin Kaepernick was going to come there and work out, and now he's not. A few hours later, Philadelphia Eagles lineman Chris Long, a vocal supporter of many protesting players, including Eagles teammate Malcolm Jenkins, took to Twitter to criticize the chain of events that led to Cap's workout cancellation. And I'm going to read this ghetto. I'm going to read this in my ghetto. But, hold up, car. So let me get this straight, car. So the Seahawks scheduled a workout with Cap, like, and then 2 weeks later they're gonna cancel the thing. Talking about he ain't supposed to be doing no social activism, and they want to know if everything gonna be like going back to regular and he ain't protesting no more. Really? Really? I had to read that. I had to say that country. Really? That's one of the tweets from Chris Long. Then Chris Long say, so let me get this straight. The Seattle scheduled to work out with Cap, and 2 weeks later it canceled on the grounds of social activism, knowing full well what the fallout would be. Another is, we know for a fact CK is being blackballed, but this lack of But the lack of bullshit from an organization like them would be shocking. I can't say that word, but it's okay. We know for a fact that Colin Kaepernick is being blackballed, but this lack of, oh, that's the same tweet. Why they keep showing the same tweet? But this is the chain of tweets from Chris Long venting about the Colin Kaepernick situation. Now, I thought Cap said that he wasn't going to be kneeling no more. He did say that. But Seattle, come on, man. You all have said, hey, man, we'll let you play. We might let you play for us if you decide that you don't want to kneel no more. You know what I'm saying? Because if you kneel, then you're going to make it seem like we support that stuff. And come on, man, you know we support white supremacy, Cap. Come on, man, we the Seattle Seahawks. You know we support white supremacy, just like all the other franchises in this NFL. All 32 of us, even the buddy down in Jacksonville who ain't even white, his dumb ass support white supremacy too, Cap. So I don't know why you getting all, don't get excited. And don't, you know what I'm saying, don't be tripping when we tell you that you can't be a part of our organization if you're still on that black power stuff. I mean, come on. Do we look like we support black power stuff? Come on, we Seattle Seahawks. I know. We're supposed to live in a part of the country where it's supposed to be liberal and people supposed to be cool and black people and white people get along and all that stuff there. Yeah, but come on, man. We live in the real world. We live in the real world, Cap. And we don't really support that black power stuff. The only thing we really do support is white supremacy, man, and getting money. You know what I'm saying? White supremacy ain't getting money. And white supremacy equal getting money. So why? Well, come on, Chris Long. Don't be surprised, Chris Long. You know what we get down. It's like your team. It's like your team be tripping like that. Your team wouldn't sign Cap either, Chris Long. I mean, I know y'all quarterback situation is a little better. But your team wouldn't even hire Colin Kaepernick with all that protesting and stuff, standing up for black people. And y'all know we don't like black people. Y'all know we out here trying to destroy these black folks. And he out here standing up for black people and their social interests and their human interests out here in this world, trying to make it seem like we horrible people. We are horrible people. We just don't want everybody to know we horrible people, right? Because we ain't to the point where we out front in the open with our racism. But Colin Kaepernick trying to come in and be all socially conscious and make us be all out in the front with our racism and stuff. So you really think we going to give him a job? Come on, man. We just going to toy his emotions at best. We seen a little work out there. I mean, you know, they're slanging it. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, he's going to be better than any other player, you know, beside Rutt Wilson. You know what I'm saying? Beside Rutt Wilson. But other than Rutt Wilson, come on, man. Come on, B. We know Cap better than the other suckers, backup quarterbacks that we got. We know that, but, I mean, you got to fill roster spots, dog. And one thing we can't do is fill a roster spot with somebody who's going to be out there challenging white supremacy. You trying to get us messed up, man. We just went through that thing with Papa John's, and we had to let Papa John's soft ass go with that garbage-ass pizza. Then we had to bring on Pizza Hut. So everybody down. So you know Pizza Hut down and complicit with white supremacy too, because they jumping on the bandwagon. Either that, just straight capitalism. Either way, they don't really care about y'all black people like that, right? Neither do we, because we don't have to care about y'all black people like that. Because, I mean, hey, people still going to show up to the games, and most of the people who show up to the games are white anyway. I mean, I know most of the players black, but come on, man. Where y'all Negroes going to find other money like this? Other places that pay your money like this? Come on, man. Come on. Y'all know how we get down. So, with that being said, yes, Colin Kaepernick is being blackballed by the NFL. And yes, all these NFL teams going to keep doing this to Cap. Until he's going to have to – I'm not Seattle Seahawks no more. This is back to me, Joseph. Colin Kaepernick, for me, in my opinion, for him to get another job in the NFL, he's going to have to publicly renounce his stance against everything and just fully embrace white supremacy, put on the white glove, put on a big smile, and hide it, sir. I sure like football, sir. I sure do. I sure thank you, Mr. White Man, for giving me this opportunity to play the football in your football league. And I sure gonna make sure I take a stand against any of them Negroes who tries to go against the white supremacy. He gonna have to, Colin Kaepernick gonna have to turn to James Harrison if he wants to play in the NFL again. And I don't think it's worth it. So, like I've been said before, Colin Kaepernick, fuck the NFL on that end. Fuck that. They don't deserve your service. Go out here in this world and do your thing and live. You could make money, make tens of millions of dollars and live and tell the NFL to kiss your dick. And that's all I got to say about that. And that's the situation with the Seahawks and the other boys. All right, so your homeboy, Martellus Bennett, he's an outspoken brother, and he's recently retired. But sometimes you got to shut the hell up. Sometimes certain things you just don't need to be saying. So, you know, I'm just saying. Sometimes you got to shut the hell up. So, let me read this article. Recently retired NFL tight end Martellus Bennett always was outspoken during his playing career. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to see Bennett remain honest and vocal during retirement. Right, because, I mean, now he can just say whatever he want to say, right? So this past Wednesday, Bennett didn't just tell Good Morning Football on NFL Network that John Kitna was his favorite quarterback to play with. Okay. Seriously, he has told the Sims and Lefke podcast on Bleacher Report that nearly 90% of NFL players use marijuana. Boy, if you ain't out here snitching, I don't know what is. Martellus Bennett out here dry snitching like a mug. Hey, Martellus, come on, B. On my mother and my father, B. You out here dry snitching in these streets, Holmes. You out here dry snitching in these streets, B. Why you dry snitching in these streets, B? Let me read some more. When Bennett was asked if over or under 70% of NFL players smoke weed, he answered with over, before estimating the actual figure to be somewhere around 89 to 90%. Bennett, who played for the Cowboys, Giants, Bears, Patriots, and Packers during his 10-year career, explained that many players use it to take care of their bodies. Dry snitch. There's medical marijuana, Bennett said. So it's like there's times of the year where your body just hurts so bad that you don't want to just be popping pills all the time. That shit ruins your liver. There's a lot of these anti-inflammatories that you take for so long that, like, it starts to eat at your liver or your kidneys and things like that. And the human made that. God made weed. This is hardly the first time an NFL player has advocated for the use of marijuana instead of painkillers. Now, hold on now. It's one thing to advocate. It's another thing to throw motherfuckers up under the bus now. You ain't got to say that 89-90% of the league smoke weed just because you're trying to advocate for weed use to be legal in the NFL. I'm down with weed use being legal in the NFL. I don't have a problem with the NFL players smoking weed to relieve their pain. Fire that bitch up. Hey, Elroy. Get like Elroy from Friday. Hey. Puff Daddy, fire that bitch up, Elroy, right? But You can't do this, bruh. You can't be going out where 90% of the players smoke weed. I'm retired, so I can say that now. You know, I'm always been outspoken, so 90% of them, hey, they smoking that thing. They smoking that ganja. Shut up, dog. Shut up, 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 shut up. That ain't your place to be going around saying that. You straight dry snitching, Martellus Bennett. You straight dry snitching. And farm off. Remember that song? Skip it up, you know that it little, skip it little, informant, informant. That's Martellus Bennett being that informant. Man, bruh, that ain't your place to be doing that, bruh. It's one thing to be outspoken, another thing to be dry snitching. You dry snitching. If you smoke weed, say, hey, I smoke weed, because this is why I smoke weed. Don't throw nobody else up under the bus, because as of right now, weed use in the NFL is illegal, i.e. Josh Gordon, right? So if that many players are out there blazing, and I hope they blazing good. If you're blazing, don't be blazing half-assed, but blaze good, but blazing good and blazing smartly, right? But if you are doing that and you know you're doing it within the time frame where you won't get caught, you don't want nobody like Martellus Bennett going around putting your business out while you get your blaze on, because you'd rather get your blaze on than pop pills. I'm with you. I don't have no problem with that. No, I don't really have no problem with weed. I don't think everybody should smoke weed. Weed ain't for everybody. Some of you mofos have no self-control. So weed ain't for you. Some of you mofos, if you smoking weed trying to be cool, weed ain't for you. If you smoke weed because everybody else smoke weed, weed ain't for you. If you got a very addictive personality and behaviors, weed ain't for you. If you just smoking weed just because you heard it in rap songs, weed ain't for you, right? You shouldn't just be smoking weed just to be smoking weed, right? Especially if you're an NFL player. Smoking weed just to smoke weed don't end your career. Because you signed up to play football in the league, and you signed up to be in the place where they said you can't smoke weed, right? You signed up for it. You taking the money. Now, that don't mean you're not going to smoke weed if you're a weed smoker, right? You just can't get caught smoking weed. It'd be funny. I'm not saying this, but it'd be funny if Tom Brady smoked weed. And it'd be funny if Tom Brady went to the hood to buy his weed. That'd be funny. But I'm not saying or implying that Thomas F. Brady smoked weed. I'm not saying that. Okay. But marijuana use is common in sports and life. But I'm not going to be out here dry snitching on nobody. So you just going to throw all the league up under the bus? Even them white boys out there smoking that thing, smoking that that Cicely Tyson. Come on, man. Bruh, that ain't your place. And that ain't your business. I understand. I understand the boys ask you some questions. I understand that. But be your ass quiet, Martellus Bennett. That's all I got to say to you. Be your ass quiet. You should not be out there talking about, well, 90% to 89 to 90% of the players in the NFL smokes weed. You know, who wants to be popping pills all the time? You know, did I just dry snitch on the most of the league? Did I just really go around and then dry snitch? Yeah, bro, you did. You dry snitch. Be your ass quiet. All right. So let's talk about the draft some more. The NFL draft some more. And today, like I said, we're going to be looking at the New York Jets and the Denver Broncos, looking at their needs and stuff like that, looking at the number of picks, the needs, and the players that they're looking at, right? So let's do that and kind of give thoughts on this. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Hey, remember that draft? Remember that draft where the buddy would represent the Jets and he spelled Jets wrong? I just want to remind you that. The black dude spelled Jets wrong. I think he said J-E. J-T-E-S or J-E-S-T or something like that, but he spelled Jets wrong. But either way, so the Jets have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 picks. They got two in the second round. No, excuse me. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 picks. They have 8 picks, 2 in the second round, 1 in each round. And, you know, they are drafting, they have the third pick in the draft. Because it's the Browns, the Giants, the Jets, the Browns, and the Broncos. So, damn, New York City tripping. So, the offseason needs are, of course, everything, but quarterback, offensive lineman, defensive end, outside linebacker, and cornerback. Those are the team's biggest needs. So let's read a bit. The Jets picked up premium draft pick by trading Sheldon Richardson to the Seahawks, landing a second round pick while also swapping seventh rounders. The team picked up an extra fifth round pick from the Cowboys in the 2017 draft. They traded their 2018 fifth round to the 49ers for Rashard Robinson at the year's trading deadline. McCown was a pleasant surprise for the Jets, but they still entered this offseason need to find a franchise quarterback. Expecting Bryce Petty or Christian Hackenberg to be a long-term starter would be foolish at this point. Yeah, I forgot they got Hackenberg from Penn State, and they're still looking for a quarterback. No one on the offensive line has played well, but the team is likely stuck with at least Kevin Beachum and Brian Winters another year. That's funny. They'll likely hang on to James Carpenter, hoping for a bounce back as well. But the other two spots should look to be upgraded. Finding a franchise left tackle and kicking Beachum to the right side could be one way to upgrade two spots. Muhammad Wilkerson figures to be a goner, so the team should be looking for a lineman who could team up with Leonard Williams and Steve McClendon on the defensive front. At linebacker, DeMario Davis has been an excellent run defender who should be re-signed, but whether or not the Jets need to target some premium pass rushing talent on the outside, the Jets have their safety duo for the foreseeable future, but talent needs to be added at cornerback. So prospects to watch, Lamar Jackson out of Louisville. I don't want Lamar to go to them. But I want Lamar to go to a spot where they give him a chance to play football because I think Lamar's a baller. Connor Williams out of Texas. I told you, you're going to hear that name a lot, Connor Williams. You're going to hear that name a lot. Taven Bryan, the defensive lineman, the tackle from Florida. Uchina Nwosu in Wosu from USC, outside linebacker USC. And Nick Nelson, cornerback for Wisconsin. Those are some players that they have their eye on. So, Connor Williams, offensive tackle out of Texas, is the first-round target all the way. His 2016 film as a sophomore was tremendous, and if his knee checks out, he'll likely be sought after early. The pick could be the Brickershaw Ferguson 2.0 for the Jets. Y'all remember about the Brickershaw? That boy named the Brickershaw. But so the Jets were hot garbage last year, and they're looking to not be so garbage this year. Quarterback play got to improve. Offensive line play got to improve. Offense got to improve. You know, the Jets have been known to be pretty straight on defense, or solid, or great on defense, but everything has to improve for the New York Jets to even think that they could compete with the Patriots. Because right now we know the NFC East is the Patriots to lose. So, yeah. So those are the New York Jets. Those are the needs of the Jets, those draft positions and people that they're looking at. So good luck to the Jets. Good luck to the New York Jets. So now we got the Denver Broncos. And so Denver has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 picks, 2 in the 4th round, 2 in the 5th round. With this 5th pick in the draft, we're going to see who they get. I know who I think they should get. I think they should get Baker Mayfield. But their needs, a quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line, and outside linebacker, players that they have their eye on, prospects to watch. Ryan Finley, quarterback out of North Carolina State, I don't know why. Jaleel Scott, wide receiver out of New Mexico State. Tremaine Edmonds, linebacker out of Virginia Tech. So those are a couple players to watch for them. I just think somebody needs to get Baker Mayfield, man. Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, I just feel like Baker Mayfield more so than Lamar. But if you put Baker Mayfield on this Broncos team and Baker Mayfield can be most of what he was, or if he could be a solid quarterback, the Broncos could get back to the playoffs with that defense. Now, Tlaib is gone. So that defense is not quite the same because Tlaib is gone, but defense still should be strong and defense still should be, able to do some things. So it all starts with finding the capable quarterback, as the Broncos offense has been brutal to watch in 2017 with Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, and Brock Osweiler. Even though Lynch was drafted in the first round himself in 2016, it would be no surprise that the Broncos scouted the QB options heavily leading up to the draft. The Broncos have had two rock-solid options at receiver for years, but they continue to get virtually nothing from their secondary receivers. It's time to find some young talent to make the offense more dynamic, potentially prepared to take over the lead role in the offense once Emmanuel Sanders moves on. Broncos should be happy with 3/5 of their line, but they need to fill holes at left guard and right tackle, the latter of which being occupied by free agent Menelik Watson. This past season, releasing Watson would save about $5 million in the 2018 cap. The defensive side of the Broncos would need to find someone to pair with Brandon Marshall. If Todd Davis isn't re-signed, they could also add to their strength at cornerback and give themselves the flexibility to move on from one of the big contracts if they're top three options at the position when needed. So, like I said, they lost Tlaib, because Tlaib going to L.A. to play with the Rams. So, so we see what happened with the Broncos, and we're going to see what's going to happen with the Jets. So, the NFL draft is coming up soon, right? It's coming up soon, and you need to be ready. You need to be ready because it's going down, man. It's going down, and I'm excited. I'm gonna be all up in it, all up in the draft. Make sure I'm giving information. Make sure I'm keeping folks updated. But it's going down. I forgot the exact date, so that's what I'm looking for. The exact date of the NFL draft. Because it's coming up, I think we're like 2 weeks away. I believe so. I do. Because I was looking at either ESPN or whatever. So, April 26th. Yeah. April 26th, the draft. The Green Bay Packers got 12 selections. Not this Thursday coming up, but next Thursday, April 26th, the NFL draft will be displaying. That'll be the first round of the draft on April 26th. So it's going down in your mind. Tell somebody in the South, say F26, F26. So 26th through 28th will be the NFL draft. So, and it's going to be in Arlington, Texas, in Big B, baby, in Big Dallas. So make sure y'all tune in. Make sure y'all tune in. All my sports lovers, all my football lovers, make sure you tune in. So let's talk about something on a little more serious level. Floyd Mayweather's bodyguard was shot, and it seems like he was shot in the drive-by. So let me read this information to you. A bodyguard for boxing champ Floyd Mayweather is recovering at an Atlanta hospital for being shot in the leg outside a hotel early Monday, police said. It doesn't appear to be a random incident, investigators say. There are indications the shooter was targeting the victim's vehicle. According to the Atlanta Police Department, the bodyguard was in a convoy of three cars that was traveling to a hotel in the city's Tony's Buckhead neighborhood just at 3 a.m. Officer Lisa Bender of the Atlanta Police Department said, "We believe that Mr. Mayweather may have been in one of the other vehicles in the caravan and was not injured." Mayweather's camp did not immediately return CNN's call seeking comment. The bodyguard has not been identified. He is in stable condition at Grady Hospital downtown, Bender said. The vehicles left the club and were en route to an Intercontinental when a vehicle pulled alongside the motorcade at an intersection and opened fire on one of the vehicles, Bender said. The intersection is along the strip of Peachtree Road, replete with restaurants, shopping malls, and high-end boutiques and upscale hotels. The drivers of the three vehicles fled, and the shooter's vehicles followed. She said after losing the shooter's vehicle, the driver carrying the bodyguard rerouted to Grady, where the bodyguard received treatment for a gunshot wound to the leg, Bender said. Mayweather and his entourage had spent at least part of the night at the club not far from Buckhead. But Mayweather's and the club's social media accounts promoted his appearance that earlier Sunday. The club also posted video of Mayweather enjoying music in the packed club as other patrons threw what appeared to be money into the air, yada, 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 yada. So Mayweather's caravan got caught in a drive-by. Some people sent trips. Hey, man, we need to start doing something different out here. We really, like, white folk already out here trying to kill us. Now, I'm not insinuating that a black person did that, but I'm not insinuating that the black person didn't do it either. But all I know, if it was black folk, hey, man, these white folk already out here murking us off. Why are we helping white folk murk us? If it is black folk, why are we helping white folk murk us? Why are we? Because, I mean, it's just dumb shit that's going on. So what's up with that? Come on, man. We got to do something different. At some point, we got to do something different in our lives. At some point, we got to do something different in our communities. At some point, we got to be like, enough is enough. And not be complicit with these white folk in trying to kill us. Not helping these white folk take us out. That's what we be doing, helping these white folk take us out. Come on, man. But I did want to give y'all information on that, and I do my best to follow up on what's going on with Floyd Mayweather and his bodyguard. So, NBA playoffs have started. NBA playoffs have started. So let me give you a rundown of the playoffs, the seeds, and what has happened so far. Because the playoffs have started on Saturday, April 14th. So in the East, the number one seed is playing the number eight seed. So it's Toronto Raptors against the Washington Wizards. The 4 and 5, the Cleveland Cavaliers at the 4, the Indiana Pacers at 5. The 3 and 6 is the Philadelphia 76ers. At the 3, Miami Heat at the 6. 2 and 7, Boston Celtics at 2, Milwaukee Bucks at 7. In the West, Houston Rockets, number 1 seed. Minnesota Timberwolves, number 8 seed. The Oklahoma City Thunder are the 4 seed. Utah Jazz are the 5th seed. The Portland Trail Blazers are the 3 seed. The New Orleans Pelicans are the 6 seed. The Golden State Warriors are the 2 seed. And the San Antonio Spurs are the 1 seed. And so far, we've had 4 games played. We had the Golden State Warriors, who defeated the San Antonio Spurs. So the Warriors are up 1-0. The New Orleans Pelicans have beaten the Portland Trail Blazers. So the Pelicans are up 1-0. Anthony Davis be a balling. Toronto Raptors are up 1-0 on the Washington Wizards. And the Philadelphia 76ers are up 1-0 on the Miami Heat. So, yeah. Anthony Davis balled out. He basically led the team to that victory over the Trailblazers. I think he had 32 points, 14 rebounds, I believe. So, yeah, man. It's going down. These playoffs are going down. They're here. And anybody got no time for no bullshit. You're either going to come out balling or you ain't. Right? Because if you ain't balling, you ain't talking about nothing. Right? So, let me find, I'm looking for more information to give to you. Yeah, so Anthony Davis had 35 points, 14 rebounds, and 4 blocks in this game. Come on now. Give me this information. Give me this information. Get these stats best. That ain't what I want. That ain't what I want. But yeah, all right, here we go. So for the Pelicans, Anthony Davis had 35. Nick Mirotic had 16, Drew Holiday had 21, Rondo had 6, Ian Clark had 10, Diallo had 2, Hill had 3, Etwan Moore had 2 assists, Rondo had 17 assists, 1 steal, Anthony Davis, like I said, he had 4 blocks, Mirotic had 4 blocks. Man, you know, they did their thing. So the score was 97-95. So Anthony Davis helped lead the team. So for the Portland Trail Blazers, Evan Turner had 13. Aminu had 7. Nurkic had 11. C.J. McCollum had 19. Lillard had 18. Ed Davis had 6. Zach Collins had 8. And Pat Connaughton. Kendleton had 3, and Shabazz Napier had 3. Just the Pelicans just had a little more for these Trailblazers in this game. So, no, that's what it was. So that's how the Pelicans got a chance to come out on top with the 2-point win, 97-95, over the Portland Trailblazers. And, you know, in these playoffs, I don't expect San Antonio to really be a challenge, like most people think, to the Warriors. These ain't the same Spurs. So, you know, we're gonna make sure we're going more in depth as the weeks go on in these playoffs. Due to time constraints, we don't have time to go all the way into all these games. But the Miami game was interesting because. Joel Embiid was out, but Ben Simmons, who's going to be Rookie of the Year, who is the Rookie of the Year, led his team. Ben Simmons was balling. In fact, let me kind of look at some of this information because I know Ben Simmons was working on a triple-double. matter of fact, he was working on that in the first half. So he ended up with 17 points, 9 rebounds, and 14 assists. So he was 1 rebound short of a triple-double. But Ben Simmons is a baller, though. Ben Simmons is a baller. So to give you these stats for Miami. So Josh Richardson had 4 points. James Johnson had 13. Whiteside had 2. Tyler Johnson had 9. Gordon Dragic had 15. Wayne Ellington had 6. Kelly Olynyk had 26. Justin Winslow had 9. Dwayne Wade had 11. Rodney Magruder had 2. So for Philly, Robert Covington, who made our HBCU spotlight, had 9. Dario Saric had 20. Amir Johnson had 2. J.J. Redick had 28. Ben Simmons, 17. Marco Bellinelli, 25. T.J. McConnell, 2. Ersin Ilyasova had 17. So, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people for the 76ers in double figures. They were supposed to win that game. They were supposed to win that game. And they outplayed the Heat. They really did outplay the Heat. It looked like they got, it just looked like a better team. So, you know, a healthy 76ers has Embiid, Simmons, and Folks. So, I do see the 76ers winning this series after seeing that game. They're just a better team than Miami. How far will the 76ers go in the playoffs? We don't know. I'm interested in this Boston-Milwaukee series to see how that plays out. I think that, you know, Boston still has that pride, still plays defense, and they have some pieces to give Milwaukee a fit. So if Boston does beat Milwaukee and end up playing Philadelphia, I would be surprised. I expect Cleveland to run through Indiana. I expect Toronto to beat Washington. I expect Houston to go through Minnesota, even though, you know, Houston has 3 choke artists on their team. Chris Paul has not been the playoffs and Chris Paul don't get along. It's like the playoffs and James Harden and the playoffs and Mike D'Antoni. So we're gonna see how that goes, even though I do expect Houston to beat Minnesota and move on. I expect OKC to eliminate Utah, move on. Portland and New Orleans, that's a good one. We're gonna see how that goes. Golden State, San Antonio, Golden State gonna sweep San Antonio. So that's how I feel about the playoffs. So more playoffs, you know, Sunday, Monday, they all coming up. Playoffs are coming up, so make sure you're watching the playoffs. So, moving on, Russell Westbrook averages a triple-double for the second straight season. And if you think that ain't an amazing feat, you stupid. You go out and try. If you think that ain't special, you can't even average a triple-double in church league. You can't even average a triple-double in city league. You can't even average a triple-double sitting on the toilet. You can't even average a triple-double if you're playing your grandma sitting in the wheelchair with one leg and no teeth. You couldn't average a triple-double if we gave you 325 baskets to shoot by yourself in the gym. You couldn't average a triple-double playing 5-on-2, right? But Russell Westbrook managed to do it for the second straight season. So let me read this to you. Oklahoma City Thunder guard and reigning NBA MVP locked up a triple-double average with 5 days to go in the 2016-2017 campaign. He got another shot at defeat in 2017-2018, but he'll have to have a monstrous game of sorts on the season's final night to do so again, which he did. So going into that game, Westbrook was averaging 25.6 points, 9.9 rebounds, and 10.1 assists. So he needed 16 rebounds in that game Wednesday night against the Grizzlies to average a triple-double, and he got his triple-double. He got his 16 rebounds. So he did it. So he's averaged 10. He averaged 25. What was his average? So his average basically for 2017-2018 was 25, 10, and 10. So that's live. That's live, man. And this is the second straight season. I mean, if you think that's not a tremendous feat, and then, you know, I heard Shannon Sharpe talking about he's stealing rebounds and all this and all that. Man, you want somebody who wants the ball. You want a Russell Westbrook live. Now, his biggest drawback is he don't know how to rely on his teammates at times. He don't understand his strengths and weaknesses. He gonna try too hard sometimes. And sometimes him trying too hard put his team in a bad position, and they don't always come out with the victory. But Russell Westbrook is somebody that you want on your team. If you was in an alley fight, you want Russell Westbrook, because Russell Westbrook one of the people that you're going to have to kill him for him to stop. Now, the way he dressed is crazy as hell. But, hey, what do I know about fashion, right? But, shit, I shop at Ross, right? So, but, hey, I don't wear the stuff he wear. But Russell Westbrook live, man. Russell Westbrook also is in the running. I think he's still in the running for MVP again. He's not going to get it. James Harden going to get MVP this year. But to average a triple-double for two straight seasons is an amazing feat. First time in NBA history, I believe, that anybody has averaged a triple-double more than one season. So it's so amazing. So, you know, the only other player that have averaged a triple-double in the season was Oscar Robertson back in the days in 61-62. Oscar went 30, 12, and 11. But, you know, before last year, the triple-double was something amazing. Now people are like, oh, man, triple-double ain't triple-double live, man. To average it for a whole season, to do what he been doing for a whole season, man, that's live. And if you think it ain't live, that's because you ain't live. But one time for Russell Westbrook for averaging a triple-double once again, and little man in the shirt in my audience, y'all get up on y'all feet. Y'all give Russell Westbrook some love for averaging triple-double for the second straight season. All right. Moving on like Maya. The Big Three had their NBA draft. The Big Three had their draft the other day. Last week they had the draft. And I want to give you the results of the draft and the rosters and everything. So, we got like three rounds or something. So, the first round, the first pick of the first round, the Ball Hawks drafted Andre Owens, a guard. Threes Company drafted Andre Emmett, a guard forward. Killer Threes drafted Allen Anderson, a guard forward. Power, they drafted Chris Birdman. Birdman, they're flying in the ass, Birdman. I'm the real Birdman, baby. But they drafted Birdman Anderson, forward center. Tri-State drafted David Hawkins, a guard forward. And the Ghost Ballers drafted Lee Nelson, who's a forward. That's the first round. Second round, the Ball Hawks drafted Corey Edwards, a forward center. Threes Company drafted Jason Maxill. He's a center. I remember him. Killer Threes drafted Ryan Hollins, who's a center. Power drafted Quentin Richardson, the Q, a guard forward. Three-Headed Monsters drafted Salim Stoudemire, a guard. Tri-State drafted Robert Height, a guard. Ghost Ballers drafted Marcus Banks, a guard. Round three, Ball Hawks drafted Jermaine Taylor, a guard. Threes Company drafted Derek Bayers, a guard forward. Killer Threes drafted Mike James, a guard. Power drafted Ryan Gomes, a forward. I ain't heard this name in a while. Tri-State drafted Bonzi Wells, a guard. And the Ghost Ballers drafted Mario West, who's a guard. So here are the rosters. Threes Company has DeMar Johnson, who's the captain. Baron Davis, the co-captain. Drew Gooden is the co-captain. Andre Emmett, Jason Maxill, and Derek Bayers. Three-Headed Monsters are headed by Rashard Lewis, who's the captain. Reggie Evans is the co-captain, and Damian Wilkins is the co-captain. They have Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf, Kwame Brown, and Salim Stoudemire. Ball Hogs have Brian Scalabrine, who's the captain, Josh Childress, who's the co-captain, and Deshaun Stevenson, who's the co-captain, Andre Owens, and Corsley Edwards, Jermaine Taylor as well. Those ballers have Mike Bibby, who's the captain, Ricky Davis, co-captain, Carlos Boozer, co-captain, Lee Nielsen, Marcus Banks, and Mario West. Three's company have Chauncey Billups, who's the captain, Steven Stackfire Jackson, co-captain, Ron Artest, co-captain, Allen Anderson, Ryan Hollins, and Mike James. They got Ron Artest. That's funny. Power got Corey McGetty as captain, Latino Mobley as co-captain, Glenn Big Baby Davis, co-captain, Chris Anderson, Quentin Richardson, and Ryan Gomes. That's a pretty nice team, though. Power got a team. Power got a team. Corey McGetty, Latino Mobley, Big Baby Davis, Chris Anderson, Quentin Richardson, and Ryan Gomes. That's a nice little team. Tri-State has Amari Stoudemire, who's the captain. Jermaine O'Neal is the co-captain. Nate Robinson is co-captain. David Hawkins, Robert Height, and Bonzi Wells. Trilogy, that's a straight team, too. Trilogy has Kenyon Martin, who's a player captain. Al Harrington, who's the captain. Rashad McCants, who's the co-captain. Dante Jones, Deion Glover, and James White. I said, the big three said the hell with Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson didn't even last the whole season last year, I don't even think. So that's a recap on what happened with the big three. All right, the big three draft. So our inspirational story of the week goes to Andre Ingram, who is a 32-year-old rookie for the Lakers who made a damn good debut the other day. So let me read this to you. It took Andre Ingram 10 years and 384 games in the minors and overseas in Orem, Utah, El Segundo, California, Perth, Australia, back to El Segundo, never making more than $30,000 a year, and working as a math tutor to make ends meet. Last night, or not last night, but I think it was like Wednesday night, finally after all of that, in a game that didn't matter yet ended up mattering every much to him, and to everyone with the heart, Andre Ingram played in the NBA game, and he fired away. Everyone was like, man, when you get it, just let it go, Ingram said. Ingram is a 32-year-old, 6'3" guard, scored 19 points by shooting 6 of 8 from the field, including 4 for 5 for 3. He didn't miss a shot until more than halfway through the fourth quarter, and only two he missed, the Lakers coach Luke Walton observed as he fouled on. Forget his age for a second. This was the fourth highest scoring NBA debut for any Laker ever. It was the highest scoring post All-Star break debut in the entire NBA since 1953. And just listen to the crowd every time Ingram. And they're saying they listen to the crowd every time Ingram put up a shot and it went in, and they listened to it as it drained it, Like, he was at the line shooting free throws, and I was watching the game. It was live, and they're playing the Rockets. And it was live because he's at the line shooting free throws, and they just bust out, MVP, 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 MVP. And it was so live. So that's what made me look up and pay attention to this. And that was like, he a rookie. And I was like, he got gray hair. But he 32. So one time. Ingram considered leaving basketball when he went undrafted out of American University back in 2007. He knows he could have found a job with his physics degree. Oh, he got a physics degree. He said he again considered leaving the sport when his first daughter, Malaya, was born. Malaya is now 6 years old enough to sit in stands for her dad's NBA debut and cheer her dad off, along with a sellout crowd and some similarly in all longtime NBAs. I was just sitting back watching the game as a fan, like a center, Brooke Lopez said. I'm like, wow, this is the stuff dreams are made of. Ingram is the all-time D-League three-point leader, which is a function of longevity. Yes, but dude can shoot, even with that funky shot. He's a two-time D-League three-point contest champion. Luke Walton made sure everybody knew that the reason for calling Ingram up wasn't just for a feel-good story. I was clear about the fact that I'm getting chills reading this. I was clear about the fact that this wasn't just going to be the nice thing Walton said. We're bringing him up because we thought he could help us when we have bodies down and he can shoot the ball. It was for us just as much as it was for him. And I think tonight he showed the basketball world what kind of shooter he is. For being in the bright lights, he was pretty good tonight. And it was a lot of fun to watch. That was Lou Walton. Once in a lifetime, Ingram called it, which didn't even do it justice because it implies that every lifetime gets something like this. Ingram related how he walked into the Lakers' office on Monday expecting just a normal session. Season exit interview, he said he realized something was up when Walton and Matt Johnson and Rob Pelinka was there. After breaking the good news, the Lakers' brain trust insisted Ingram call his wife and daughters from right there in the room. I don't know what she said. All I heard was screaming. Ingram admitted, "Hey, they called you up. They called my baby up. They called my baby up." That's what she said. They probably let out what I truly wanted to let out. When Ingram finally checked into the game, the Rockets' Chris Paul, same age, wildly different career paths, but both leading to the court at this moment, wanted to come over and say hi. I told him I heard about his story and that grind is unbelievable. Chris Paul, who, like Ingram, is 32, told him, "Much respect." And then the bucket started falling. Splash, 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 splash. Ingram, 19 points, right? And for what was already going to be the highlight of Ingram's professional career, no matter how many shots he made, he just happened to be the league's hottest shooter on this night. If there was anyone left that hadn't been won over, Ingram did so with this utterly charming post-game interview, and they talk about the interview that he did. So, hey, man, one time for Andre Ingram and that story. He ain't give up on his dreams, man. Hey, little man in the shirt, your ass working today. I'm making little man his ass working today. Get your ass up and make that crowd clap. There you go. You working today. So, one time for Andre Ingram, man. Don't give up on your dreams no matter how long it takes. 10 years. 10 years. My man grinded for 10 years. Didn't give up. Didn't give up. 10 years. So, don't give up on your dream, man. Whatever you want to do. If you're trying to give up, all you need to say is, "What will Andre Ingram do?" When life get hard, ask yourself, "What will Andre Ingram do?" Somebody tell you no. Ask yourself, "What will Andre Ingram do?" You may lose everything. But ask yourself, "What will Andre Ingram do?" Andre got the heart of a champion, and much respect is due for this man. You better lose yourself in the music, the moment, own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot to not miss your chance to blow because opportunity comes once in a lifetime. And goddamn it, Andre, you took advantage one time. So let me move on. The San Francisco 49ers, Reuben Foster, has been arrested for the second time in less than a month for an incident on Sunday in California. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, Foster was taken into custody in Santa Clara County on allegations related to domestic violence. According to the San Jose Mercury News, Foster has also been accused of possessing an assault rifle. The Mercury News has also reported that the domestic violence allegation came after Foster's girlfriend accused him of dragging her during an argument between the two. The 49ers linebacker spent part of his Sunday in jail before being released on a $75,000 bail. Well, goddamn, somebody killed somebody last week and got less bail than that. But they was white, too. According to jail records, prosecutors now have up to 30 days to decide whether or not to charge Foster. The charges could upend being misdemeanors or felonies, depending on how serious the prosecutor's office views the allegations. The San Francisco 49ers organization is aware of the report regarding Reuben Foster. This is what they're saying. "We take matters of this nature seriously and are gathering all permanent information. This is the second time in less than a month that Foster has been arrested. 49ers 2017 first-round pick who was also arrested on January 12th and charged with second-degree possession of marijuana after an incident in Alabama. Foster has been making headlines and not in a good way for the past year. Back in March 2017, Foster was sent home early from the combine after getting into a heated discussion with a hospital worker while waiting to get tested. His urine sample also came back as a diluted sample, which, according to NFL substance abuse policy, is considered a positive test, which is stupid. Despite his troubles, the 23-year-old had a solid rookie year with the 49ers, although he played in only 10 games due to an ankle injury. Foster still managed to finish second on the team in tackles. He also graded out as the fourth-best linebacker, according to Pro Football Focus. Foster missed 6 games in 2017 due to the ankle injury that bothered him for most of the early season. During the time he was injured, Foster also had to deal with the police, but for a completely different reason. Back in October, the 49ers linebacker was held up outside a nightclub in San Francisco. It's a garbage way to end this article, but that's an article by Fox Sports. So Reuben Foster has been alleged of dragging his girlfriend after an argument. My question to the NFL is, when are you guys are going to do something real about domestic violence within your realm? You need to bring me in, NFL. Bring me in, me and my man, Douglas Constanzo. Bring us in, and we will train, and we will be the trainers for the NFL players, the training them, the teaching them how to be an ally against violence against women. I'm going to say that again. We will teach them how to be an ally in violence and preventing violence against women rather than being the perpetrators all the time. Because the NFL will find a way to make this go away. So we just cut the people. What about the rehabilitation or the reassessment or the reworking of the players? A whole paradigm shift needs to happen on both ends with the players and the league, and that ain't happening. And that's an issue. That's why these domestic violence issues keep occurring. The environment and the culture of domestic violence is real in America. It's real in the NFL. I mean, look at the Jerry Richardson owner for the Panthers having been 17 because he's sexually harassing people. Like, we've talked about several stories on The Fix since show one to now about either sexual violence, sexual harassment, domestic violence, rape. I mean, goddamn. Something in the realm of the NFL needs to be done, needs to be done different. But the NFL is only going to put a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. So if you're only putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound, then you ain't talking about nothing. Right? Domestic violence is a real thing. Now, I'm not saying Reuben Foster actually did it. I don't have the evidence to say Reuben Foster did it. But you already know how I am. Reuben Foster, if you actually did what you alleged to doing, you's a bitch. You need your ass whooped and you need counseling. In that order. A bitch needs your ass whooping and you need counseling. Right? Now, if this didn't happen, the lady need to be something. I don't know. But unhealthy relationships are running rampant in these sports realms. And what's happening in the sports realms are a reflection of what's happening in real life in the real America. Let's say that. I will say that. It's not like these are isolated incidents. This is a reflection of what's going on in America on a daily basis. It's what this is. So I'm tired of doing these stories about domestic sexual violence, all these things. NFL got to do something real. NFL got to stop just putting a Band-Aid on the bullet wound. They got to do something real, man. And then if they don't, it's going to keep happening. And if you want it to stop, you got to do more than just put out commercials. A continuous training or education needs to go on, because we're talking about total paradigm shifts on how people exist and live. Total paradigm shifts. So if you're not doing that, you ain't serious about domestic violence. cutting the players won't solve domestic violence issues with people who are within the NFL. How about work on solving domestic violence across the board? And you will help improve domestic violence in the NFL if you just work to solve it across the board. So, I mean, that's all I got to say about that. That's all I got to say about that. So, my weekly rant is aimed at a dumbass named Trevor Davis, who played for the Green Bay Packers, who thought that it would be funny to go up in one of these airports and do a bomb joke. Let me read this to you before I snap on this little motherfucker. Right. Green Bay Packers wide receiver Trevor Davis was arrested Sunday and charged with making criminal threats after joking about a bomb at the Los Angeles International Airport, according to LAX police. Yeah. Public Information Officer Rob Petrovin told ESPN on Monday that Davis was taken into custody and released on his own recognizance pending a May 3rd court appearance. Get your dumb ass in court, boy. Yesterday, Trevor Davis checked in at a Hawaiian Airlines ticket counter and was asked the unusual questions about whether he was carrying an aerosol cans, knives, weapons, or explosives, Petrovin said. Davis turned to his female companion and asked if she remembered to pack the explosives. He was then taken into custody and booked. Hey, that lady should have, what? It's one thing to be stupid when you're by yourself, but you stupid when you're with somebody else. And it looked like y'all about to go to Hawaii. You stupid, boy. Boy, you black. You don't know you black, boy? And you can't go around and talk about no goddamn bombs, and no goddamn airport. Come on, did you pack the explosives? Did you remember to pack the explosives? Man, did you remember to pack your intelligence, bitch? What the fuck? That was stupid. You stupid. You a stupid boy. Trevor Davis, you are stupid. The case has been referred to the Los Angeles County Court System, Petrovin said. The Packers are aware of the matter involving Trevor Davis. The team said in a statement to ESPN, we're in the process of gathering more information and will refrain from making any further comment as it is an ongoing legal matter. Davis, who's 24, so his brain ain't fully formed. His brain ain't finished fully forming yet. So, you know, if you're over 25, I'm extra hard on you because your brain completed. But one excuse he got is his brain is not fully developed, but he's smart enough to know that you don't run up in no damn airport and talking about, hey, did you pack the explosives? Hey, they packed them shits on your ass. What happened to your necks was explosive, huh? I bet you wasn't expecting that, you little stupid. Boy, what is wrong with you, boy? You woke up, you walking in there, and the first thing come to your mind was somebody ask you about, they ask you that for a reason. So, I know you're 24, but I'm sure you're aware of a little something called 9/11. Well, as white people call it 9/11, but we call it 9/11. So, I know you know about 9/11. I know you know about 9/11. If you don't know about 9/11, Google 9/11 because you got too much money to be not knowing what 9/11 is. I ain't saying you're no multimillionaire, but you got at least 100 something, at least 100,000. So, you got enough money to know what 9/11 is, right? He was a fifth-round pick from Cal in 2016 and last season served as the Packers' primary kick returner and punt returner. He ranked third in the NFL in punt return average last season with a long return of 65 yards against the Cleveland Browns on December 10th that set up a game-time touchdown to force overtime. The San Francisco native Davis was expected to be back on the Green Bay next Monday for the start of the Packers' offseason program. Now, That's the thing, but boy, you stupid, Trevor Davis. Like, you woke up with the idea of, I'm going to be a fuckboy today. How can I be a fuckboy? What's the greatest way to be a fuckboy today? I'm going to have a companion with me. I'm going to have a female with me. And we're going to go to the airport. Cause we're trying to go to Hawaii. So since we're trying to go to Hawaii, we're in the airport. But when they ask me about guns, knives, explosives, aerosol cans, anything like that, I'm gonna turn to you and say, hey, did you remember to pack the explosives? And that shit gonna be bomb, B. That shit gonna be so bomb, B. They gonna be laughing. Everybody gonna be laughing, B. They gonna be laughing, B. I'm telling you, they gonna be laughing. I'm telling you, B. They gonna be laughing. But guess what? Guess what, Trevor Davis? That shit didn't work out in you, the way you expected it, did you, Trevor? You said, did you pack the explosive? And they said, bitch, you under arrest for being a dumbass. You under arrest for being a dumbass, Trevor, because you're stupid. You took your dumbass pills that morning. You woke up and you, how can I be the biggest asshole today? Can I trip somebody? Nope. Put a kick me sign on somebody's back? Nope. Hit somebody with a water balloon? Nope. Pull somebody's chair out when they're about to sit down? Nope. Leave a fake love letter on somebody's car? Nope. Put a booger on somebody? Nope. Go into the airport and say something about explosives. You know what? Hell yeah. Hell yeah, bro. Hell yeah, that's what I'm going to do. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to run up in the airport, and I'm going to say something about explosives. Is you ready? Hey, say something about explosives on three. One, two, three. Say something about explosives. And go into the airport, and the dumbass actually went into the airport and said something about explosives. Your parents should be ashamed of you. Your teammates should be ashamed of you. Your coaches should be ashamed of you. Your college should be ashamed of you. Your high school should be ashamed of you. Your middle school should be ashamed of you. Your elementary school should be ashamed of you. Your preschool should be ashamed of you. Your pre-preschool should be ashamed of you. I mean, damn, son. What, like, you really thought that that was a cool statement to make? And you're black. You're black. You're a black person. You can't go around talking about explosives in public in the airport and being a black person. You're black. What is wrong with you? Do you not know that you're black? Do you not know that you can't go around talking about explosives as jokes? You don't joke about explosives in an airport, especially after 9/11 happened. What is wrong with you, Andre? I mean, excuse me, Trevor Davis. Trevor, you're stupid. You're a dumbass. You get Fuck Boy of the Week. You get the Fuck Boy of the Week award, Trevor, because you decided that the way I could be the biggest fuck boy is to pretend like a bomb's gonna go off in the airport. Yeah. Yeah, the future fuck boys of the America will recruit Trevor Davis. He's an active member of the future fuck boys of America doing some stupid shit like that. Hey, Trevor, whatever you get, hey, man, it's what you get because you decide to be a dumbass and go into the airport. See, sometimes we can't help you motherfuckers. Sometimes we just can't help you motherfuckers because y'all go around just some of this dumb shit, man. I don't know, Trevor. I don't know. Hey, did you pack the explosives? Hey, did you get your bail money? Bet you wasn't expecting that. So, hey. Trevor, I hope you learn from this, and I hope when your brain fully stops developing that you be a better person for this. But in the meantime, you are a part of this weekly rant and Fuckboy of the Week. And that's all I got to say about that. Hey, man, that's my show. This is the Fake Sports Podcast, the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your life. The realest sports podcast you have ever heard in your life on right here on the Freedom Train Network, Black America's premier media network. Visit us at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Make sure you also check us out on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. If you go to Stitcher, you don't have to worry about whether you got iPhone or Android, because Stitcher hook you up for both. So Check us out, man. I'm Joseph Ward. I'm enjoying my journey. This is the Fix Sports Podcast. I put two fingers in the air and I split them apart because I'm the realest ever. Peace.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like